So, hey, I'm Chuck Mingo. Good to be with you guys for week five of A Journey Home. And this week is all about a place at the table. That's what this week is all about. And it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do some things experientially today. Obviously, you know that because you got a brown bag in your hand. You don't usually have a brown bag in your hand. Hold off on those, and we're going to experience elements of that together today. But really cool stuff on the way. Hey, that prayer experience, I know you've heard about it. I just want to say, for me, it was a very, very awesome, delightful time to experience God in a fresh way. So I'm hoping that if you haven't done it, that you definitely make time to do it in the last couple days that it's available. I want to also reiterate something Brian said last week, that Crossroads is a political-free zone. We're like T-minus whatever for the election. I know you're getting stuff. You might even have stuff on your in your cars when you come, or on your cars. I promise you it's not from Crossroads. And I want to tell you why. The reason it's not from us is because I have looked in the Bible for the word Democrat and Republican, and I cannot find it. I really can't. But here's what I know. I know that God is not just for Democrats, and I know he's not just for Republicans, because God is for everyone. And today, what I hope you receive today is knowing that God is a Father who is for you, and he's for all of us. Today is really about receiving deeply the love of God. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. That's how we're going to be engaging in experiences today. And I do have one more thing I have to remind you of, which is if you're in small group, you know, in addition to coming on the weekends during the journey, all of us are hopefully in a small group of 6 to 12 other people we're experiencing and processing what we're learning. And this week, your group needs access to a DVD player. So I just want to put that out there so you're not caught by surprise in your groups this week. But I want to pray and just invite God into this incredible opportunity to receive and the experiences we're going to have today. So God, thank you so much for this opportunity to understand more of your heart for us. And I pray that that's exactly what happens, that you would use every element of our experience together to remind us and communicate to us, awaken us to this incredible invitation home that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this series, we've started out talking about the places where we're not at home, these orphan tendencies that we have because we feel like we're disconnected from a home, or we feel disconnected from God. And so these things show up in our lives as the places we seek approval, the places we seek power, the places we seek control, the places where appetites in our life are things we use to medicate the pain of feeling disconnected. And what we've learned in the midst of this journey is that God has an invitation for all of us to come home. There's a place at the table for all of us, if we will receive it, if we will receive it. And in the last couple weeks of the journey, that's really what we're talking about, is what does it mean to live at home? What does it mean to receive? And that's a different journey for all of us. It looks different ways for all of us. And in fact, we can learn from how other people have processed the receiving journey. So we're going to take a look at a story right now of someone's receiving journey in our community.
I ended up coming to visit my mom in Cincinnati about two Christmases ago. Had reconnected with an old friend from high school. I had noticed on Facebook she'd went down to New Orleans and she had done this Habitat thing with her church. I had always wanted to do a Habitat build. New Orleans had a special place for me, and asked her if I needed to live in Cincinnati or be a part of her church to go. She said no. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. My life prior to New Orleans had definitely been a lot of, you know, feeling the need to hold it all together, to be amazing at what I did, to take care of everyone, and to do it without showing weakness. And I get down there and I'm just overwhelmed by the number of people who openly love and praise him. I had never encountered that before. I don't even think in my childhood. And I decided at that point that I really wanted to let it go. And I just started feeling the weight come off me. And then I felt so light and surrounded by love. Surrounded by people who would be with me on this journey when I didn't think I could believe myself. I had become who I was because I had organized everything. I had built everything. I was that for everyone else in my life, and I was that for me. And I didn't really have anyone who was that for me. And that's when I realized I did have someone fighting for me. But I still didn't understand it. I didn't know why. I didn't know why he would want to fight for me. Or why he loved me so much. I mean, I know he's supposed to be our father and, you know, but I didn't get it. Maybe it was just that I had felt, that I had recognized the orphan that I had been. I finally felt home. I felt like the heart that I'd always had, that had this incredible need to love, had direction, and had protection.
I love that story. Lauren talks about a moment where she decided to let go. And that moment for her was really a dividing moment. It was a moment where she turned toward home and she came home. And I want you to know that there is clearly a dividing line in this journey home, and not everybody crosses it. But it's not what you would expect. There's a dividing line in the midst of this journey home between receiving and earning your place at the table. And I want you to know, there are people who will continue to try to earn your place at the table. You think you have to prove something to God. You think you have to work off a debt for God. And that is not the way to receive your place at the table. It can only come through the simple act of receiving. That's really a dividing line in the midst of this journey. Not everybody crosses it, but you can cross it. And I think for many of us, we've been crossing it over these last 5 weeks at different moments. You know, maybe for some of us, there was a dividing line where you chose to receive when you took that key last week. Maybe for others of us, there have been things we've done in our group and just things that have resonated deeply with us, and that's been the moment where we receive. Maybe for others of us, it happened in the prayer experience. But there is a moment and the series of moments after that where we choose to receive, where we choose to say, you know what? I can't earn my place at the table with God. But because of what he's done in sending Jesus in my place, I will receive it. I will believe that. Yes, it's like that moment when the light bulb goes on. Yes, God loves me. And he actually wants to invite me into his family. And I can't earn it, but I want to receive it. And the Bible talks about this dividing line in John 1. Chapter 12, where it says, yet to all who did receive him, who received Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right, gave it to them to become children of God. I want you to know that receiving is not just the starting posture of returning home. It's the whole posture of a treasured child. It's the only posture you can have when you're a treasured child, is this posture of receiving. The main thing I want you to hear today is that receiving is how we experience being at home with God. Receiving is how we experiencing it. And so our ability to receive has incredible spiritual implications for all of us. And so when you came in, you got a program. Some of you may have this also in your guide. I want you to go ahead and open up that program and take out a pen. And like we've been doing every week in this journey, we're going to spend some time interacting and processing how well we receive right now, because this has tremendous spiritual implications, and it absolutely has implications for what else we're going to do today. So go ahead and open up your program, and in that first inside cover, question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, how good are you at receiving? And there's a couple of different scenarios and places and spaces in your life where you could receive. So let's just spend some time kind of chewing on this together. So the first is, how good are you at receiving a present? Go ahead and circle. 5 being, I love it, receive them easily. 1 being, I don't want anything. And kind of in the middle is like, oh, you shouldn't have. So where are you at on the scale of receiving a present? How about receiving a compliment? Where 5 is somebody gives you a compliment, and it's like, hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks for saying so. 3 is kind of, I'm not really that great, but thanks. And where 1 is, who, me? Like, you just kind of shrug it off or you even deny it. How good are you at receiving a compliment? How about compassion? If you're having a hard time, is it easy to receive compassion? Your typical response is just say it'll turn out okay? Or are you maybe one who denies that and actually will turn down compassion when it's offered to you? Where are you at on that? How easy is it for you to receive help? If someone offers it, do you easily receive it? Or do you kind of say, hey, thanks anyway, but I got this? And if you have to receive it, does it just suck? Just hard for you? How about receiving advice, counsel, wisdom? When someone speaks into your life with counsel or wisdom, is it easy for you to receive it, recognize it's coming from a good place when it is, or even when you know the person has your best interest at heart, it's just hard to receive it? You know, the truth is, this simple exercise really could get at some deep issues that you have spiritually. You stop and think about it, because I want you to know receiving is the posture that God invites you into, and it's the only posture through which you can come to the table. You cannot earn your way here. You cannot independently get your way here. The crazy thing about it, though, is as you receive it, God always has more to give. It is absolutely incredible, the limitlessness of his grace, the limitlessness of his love. You know, for some of us, maybe last week when we received that key, we made some confessions, we made some changes, we made some resolutions of what we weren't going to do. And man, this week you went back on all of them. And you're in here today and you're wondering, does God still have a place at the table for you? Can you still receive his love? You know, maybe last week or the week before, you made a choice to stop seeking approval, but it's been a really difficult choice to follow through on. And you're wondering, does God have a limit to his love? Is there some point at which there's no more a place at the table for you? I know you wrestle with that because I wrestle with that. It's human to wrestle with that. And yet the invitation that God gives us is to receive. And I want you to just imagine, what would it be like if God loved you that much? That truly his love was limitless, and no matter what you had done, there is always a place at the table for you. I want you to look at this and recognize that what you're about to see could very well be what coming home looks like for you.
Start to wake up from the best night's sleep of your life, and it takes a second to remember where you are. You keep your eyes closed, trying to remember. Then it comes back to you. Last night, you came home. Was that all just a dream? And then everything floods back. How scared you were to return. How ashamed. But when your dad saw you coming, he ran to you and gathered you in his arms, nearly crushing you in his embrace. You had been living as an orphan for so long, you had forgotten what it felt like to be loved. But he welcomed you home like a treasured child. Then he laid the most lavish table, threw a party in your honor. Even though you didn't deserve it, all was forgiven. You keep your eyes closed, reliving those moments, not wanting to wake up. But then you remember all the things you've done, all the ways you've wronged him. No one could really forgive all that, could they? You listen and realize the house is so quiet now. Too quiet. The calm before the storm. You know your father must be furious now that he's had time to sleep on it. You would be. You imagine him up all night, getting angrier and angrier. You feel sure the punishment you deserve will be waiting for you downstairs. Panic builds in your chest, and you squeeze your eyes shut tighter. You want to grab your stuff and bolt for the window and not have to face him. But you know you have nowhere to run. So you steel yourself for the inevitable. You start to ready comebacks and excuses, practicing your I'm sorry speech. Maybe you can still convince him to let you hang around as a hired hand. Anything would be better than the life you left behind. You open your eyes. Something is tied to the foot of your bed. It's a letter. A love letter. His love. The love of God for you is written everywhere.
I want you to know how much I love you. Last night was just the beginning. I'm always going to be with you, and I'm strong enough to save you, no matter what. You make me smile from ear to ear. My heart literally sings over you. That's how much I love you. Every day, I pour my
And that's how God feels about you. That's the love of the Father for you. Over and over again, every word there, every word you heard is a word that God invites you to receive. Every word there is a word that he invites you to receive. God has a place at the table for you. And I want you to know this place at the table is not for perfect people. It's for needy people. The thing about receiving is this. We recognize that when we come to God, when you have received, you recognize when you come to God, you have all the needs. You need him to save you. You need him to forgive you. You need him to love you. And you know what? God says, I am ready and willing to give you everything you need. Will you receive my love? Will you receive your place at the table? I want you to know what is at the table for you. Maybe you've received this already. Maybe you've been wrestling with this. Maybe today will be the first time that you receive, but I want you to know what you get when you come to the table. When you trust in what Jesus has done instead of your own merits, what you get is the Father's presence. You get the Father's presence. You receive his presence when you come to the table. It's available for you. You know, I'm blessed and fortunate. I have a great relationship with my dad. And about 4 years ago, my dad was turning 80 years old. And so I told him for his 80th birthday, I wanted to do something really special for him. And so I said, Dad, pick any city in the country, and we're going to hang out in that city for the weekend. And this was like second trimester. Maria was pregnant with our first child. It was second trimester, so it was a good time for me to kind of get away and come home. No problems there. And so I said, Dad, let's do it. Let's go away. Let's go to a fun place. And I told my dad this, gave him the offer. He said, hey, give me a couple days to think about it. And I was pretty sure he didn't need to think about it because I was pretty sure he was going to choose St. Louis, Missouri. My dad is, he lives in Philly, but he's from St. Louis, and you will never find a bigger lover of all things St. Louis than my dad. Baseball season's a little bit tough, but he loves St. Louis, and so I was pretty sure that's what he was going to say. So a couple days later, he comes, he calls me, and he says, hey, I've been thinking about your offer, and if there's any city that I could be in for my 80th birthday, I want to be in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I want to help you put the crib together for my grandson. Yes, exactly. I mean, it's like, cue the Kleenex, right? I mean, you know what? I wanted to give my dad a gift, but you know what? I received the gift. My dad came to Cincinnati, and he gave me the gift of his presence. And we talked about things, and I heard stories about him that I had never heard before in all the 30-plus years that I had been living. And it was just a powerful experience of my dad's presence. Now, amplify that to infinity and imagine the joy that's available if the God, creator of the universe, offers you his presence at the table. Psalm 16 puts it this way about God's presence. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And next week, Brian's going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift where God literally and physically takes up residence in us. We actually get the very presence of God when we receive. And that's available for you at the table. We receive the Father's presence. We also receive the Father's promises. When you come to the table, you receive the Father's promises. A couple years ago, had a kind of mind shift, a helpful mind shift in how I engage the Bible. I don't know about you, maybe you think about the Bible as an academic book. You know, a book to be mastered, principles and precepts to be applied to your life. And there are aspects of the Bible that are absolutely that. Maybe you think about the Bible and for you it's like a book of mystery. You know, it's like, I don't know all of how it applies to my life, but there's a mysterious nature to it. And maybe you almost have like an arm's length relationship with it because it seems mysterious to you. Maybe you think about it and it's a history book. And so you read about it to understand maybe how men have interpreted the relationship with God over the years. And there's a lot of ways to read the Bible. And I'm a Bible geek, so I love reading the Bible. I love learning about the Bible. There's a Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit coming to the Cincinnati Museum Center. I can't wait. I will be there. And I want to do all the geeky lectures that go along with it. Like, that's just, I love it. But a couple years ago, I feel like my dad, not my earthly dad, but God, my father, said, hey, I want you to read this book, not primarily academically, not historically. I want you to read it relationally. Because this book, the Bible, is actually my words to you. It's my heart to you. I want you to know, son, who I am and who you are in my eyes. And that changed how I began to encounter words in the Bible. And every time I came across a promise, I had to really receive it and say, this is for me. God, you want me to know this is for me. This is truth about who I am. This is truth about who you are. It really changed how I viewed the Bible. And I think that may be why in Jewish culture, one of the things that at least they used to do when they would introduce children to the Torah for the first time, the Jewish Bible for the first time, is a very tactile experience that helped them orient this book as a relational book. And the words of this book is sweet. And I actually want to do that with you right now. So you finally get to crack open that brown bag for the first time. And as you do that, you're going to find a couple of things in there. But the one thing that we're going to interact with right now is your little honey packet. You have a little packet of honey sauce, I think it's honey sauce, in that bag. I love hearing that rustling. Ready to receive. Ready to receive. When you get that honey packet out, go ahead and rip it open. And what I'd love for you to do is put a little bit of that honey just on your fingertip. Just a little dab on your fingertip. And to really get the meaning behind this, you have to put yourself in a culture where you didn't have literally, you know, dozens of refined sugar options every day. I mean, like, you know, for us, we look at honey and say, man, this is like the 50th sweet thing I've had today. So, you know, it's Halloween just passed. I mean, some of you trying to get that candy out of your house, which means eating more of the candy. I know, you know, so for us, it might not be as evident as it is for a culture and a society where having sweet things was rare. And as a child, you would not have had many experiences of something as sweet as honey. So it had a freshness to you. And so what they would do is the first time that they would introduce children, Jewish children, to the book from their father, the book that was relationally written for them, is they would have them taste honey at the same time. So I want you to do that now. I want you to take that dab of honey and I want you to put it in your mouth. I want you to taste the sweetness of it. And I want you to receive these words from Psalm 119:103, which says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You know, as sweet as honey would have been to a child the first time that they actually tasted it, I want you to know that God's promises in the Bible are even sweeter for you. And I want you to taste them right now. I want you to drink them in. I want you to kind of chew on them a little bit. So in your program, on that other inside spread, there's a page that says at the top, "These are the things your Heavenly Father says about you." So I want you to get that page out. And once again, I'm encouraging you to take out a pen, pencil, whatever you were writing with before. And I want you to engage this as I read it to you. I don't want you to just passively hear these words, because these are promises that you can reach out and receive from a loving Father who wants you to receive them. These are words from God to you. If you would receive them, these words are for you. I'm just going to read a couple of these to you, and I want you to circle or underline or star, whatever works for you, anything that feels like, man, yes, I want to believe that. I believe that. I will receive that. Zephaniah 3:17, the first one, says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." I want you to stop and picture God singing to you. If you're a parent and you have children, I guarantee you, no matter how good your voice is or how bad your voice is, I guarantee you sing to your kids. Because you can't help it as a parent. That's just what you do. I want you to imagine God singing over you. Because this is a promise he gives you if you would receive it. A little bit further down, Revelations 21:3 says, "Look, God's home is now among his people with his family that he's formed of those who receive. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them." Can you imagine that? God with you, walking in step with you, interacting with you in a personal way. Because that promise is available if you would receive it. Psalm 27:10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." In some of us, part of our story is the absence of a parent. And what God says to you is, even if your father and mother, even if your earthly example of that left you, abandoned you, you never knew them, I receive you. I receive you. You're my child, and I want you to come home. Man, that's an incredible, incredible thing to receive. On the other side, Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." God fights for you. In places where you feel helpless, in places where you feel alone, God fights for you. Just one more. I love Romans 8, 38 through 39. How strong is this Father's love for you? Romans 8 says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demon, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." His love is strong for you. And these words are sweet. These promises are sweet. And they're yours to be received. And let me tell you, as you receive these promises, you change. It changes you. It causes you to turn away from lies that you've believed your whole life. And it causes you to live in reality, to live in the truth of who God says he is and who he says you are. That is a beautiful thing. And in fact, that is the beautiful thing that the Bible calls repentance. That word maybe has some negative baggage if you grew up in a church context, but I want to redeem that word because it's a beautiful word. In Romans 2:4, this is what it says about repentance. It says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" God's kindness, these promises, are meant to cause you to turn away from every other place where you would seek worth and value and to receive it from the only place that actually satisfies, which is a relationship with God, your Father. And he invites you to that. And that process is the invitation when you receive the promises of God. And I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that. I need to receive on a regular basis who I am in God. I need to be reminded that these lies that I might believe about where I need to search for approval or what ambition is going to give me or these appetites that I can go after, that they're not going to satisfy. I need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. I need to drink it in. I need to show up at the table and eat once again who God says I am. And so that video that you saw, that receive video, I want you to know you can receive that way again. If that worked for you, if that connected to you, then you can download that for free. Because we want you to be able to go back to that and receive those words. Every scripture that I just read to you, and in fact, all the ones on the program, they're all from that video. And I want you to receive it over and over and over again. Because this is the way God's love works. It's not a one-time receiving, but it's a continual receiving. We receive his presence at the table. We receive his promises at the table, and we also receive God's provision. We receive the Father's provision at the table. You know, this table is incredible, and the food is incredible, and the family meal for probably many of us has a special place. It definitely had a special place in the culture and time where Jesus lived, when he lived in that Jewish culture in the first century. And one of the family meals that was incredibly meaningful was the Passover meal. And every Jewish family, every year, would get together for this meal where they were reminded of God's provision for them as a people. They were reminded that once they were slaves in Egypt, and because of an incredible, miraculous work of God, they were freed from their slavery. God provided for them. And every year, they'd get together as a family, and they would remember that. They would remember that God provided for us. And Jesus had an incredible way of really redeeming and shedding the ultimate light on what a lot of these traditions in the Jewish family meant. And this is one of them, because one day Jesus is having this Passover meal with his disciples, and he completely co-opts it and redeems it into something that we continue to celebrate in churches all around the world today. In Luke 22:19, at the Passover meal, it says, "Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" What Jesus was doing here was he was saying, "Hey, I want you to know that this is a family meal, but it's the beginning of a new family." Because twice in here he says, "I did something for you. My body was broken for you. My blood was shed for you. It was shed so that you could be a part of God's family again. It was shed so that you could return home. And when you do this, you are receiving it. You're receiving who I am. You're receiving what I've done for you." And he encouraged them to continue to do that, to remember that they have been provided for by Jesus. Man, the rebellious kid in the family has been provided for by Jesus. And guess what? The rule-following kid has been provided for by Jesus. Because we can never earn this. It's not about earning. It's just about receiving. So the faith-filled kid has been provided for by Jesus, but so has the doubt-filled kid. Because this is about receiving who God says you are, receiving what he's done for you in Jesus. And I think that's why in the early church, they continued to have these family meals, because it was a great reminder to them They're not at the table because they're perfect people, but they're at the table because God has made provision for them. And in Hebrews, we see this encouragement to the early church to continue to do these kinds of things. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, one of the things that's been special for me is meals that I've shared with other people in the family of God. And I want to bring you into that. I want you to experience that today. And I need a little bit of help with that. So I decided to invite a couple of my friends that I have shared some good meals with, some good family meals with, to come and be a part of what we're doing today and to be a part of the table. So would you guys mind welcoming up some good friends of mine as they join us on stage? How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
We got some more folks coming up here. And these are all guys that I really feel at home with. These are guys I really enjoy. So you guys have a seat.
How you doing, young fellow?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
All right. So, and pass the biscuits, please. We got to get those biscuits going. I've been looking at them all service, so. Thank you, man. Thank you. So I let me just state the obvious. I know what you're thinking as you see these guys up here. One of these guys is not like the others.
Who are you talking about?
So let's just get clear with it. One of these guys is not like the others. In fact, Vernon is the only one with hair. So I know that you've been thinking that. So I figured I would tell you that. My friend Vernon Jackson over there, a guy that I have shared some good meals with. My friend Jason Angelo. My friend Andre Barkley. And actually this guy here, he is a friend. But he's actually more than a friend. So would you guys say hello to my dad, who came all the way from Philadelphia to be a part of this weekend with us, Charles Mingo.
Thank you.
This is fun just to have you guys hanging out. And I was thinking about this, and for me, breakfast is the best meal in my family. I don't know what your experience is, but for me, breakfast is my favorite meal. It's the meal I look forward to the most. And a big reason is because of this guy. I want some bacon.
I thought you were a diet, aren't you?
A big reason is because of this guy right here. So, Dad, why don't you just tell people a little bit of why breakfast is so important to me?
Well, coming from a large family, my biological family, which had, I was 12 kids. My parents had 12 kids. And if anybody know about St. Louis, Missouri, it is cold there in the wintertime. Nobody has to tell you that it's wintertime in St. Louis. Neither do they have to tell you that it's summertime in the summer. The weather determines that. My parents felt that on a cold morning, we had to walk to school and all. We needed a good, healthy breakfast before we go out into the climate.
Healthy is relative for you, though, so keep going.
Yes. They felt that you needed a hot breakfast and a heavy breakfast.
Yes.
And they would always have like hot biscuits, cream of wheat, oatmeal, hot food, cocoa, things like that. Man. And this is what we had as our first meal of the day, which we call the hot and the heavy.
That's right, the hot and the heavy. So I grew up in a house where breakfast for me, like I can tell you, in the years I grew up in my house, all 18 years, I never had cold cereal for breakfast. Never. My dad would cook hot foods, like he said, always meat, always very hearty foods, we'll say. And that's just kind of what I grew up with. So breakfast is like, you know, that's the comfort meal for me. I love breakfast. And in fact, this tradition lives on in my family. I just took this picture the other day of Dad and Pop-Pop and Nathan having a hot and heavy breakfast together. So, like, breakfast for me is just that kind of meal. And all these guys up here, I've got meal stories with all of them. I guess, Jason, I'll go to you and say, you're the only person besides my dad who has actually had a meal with me in our pajamas.
Absolutely.
So we should probably explain that.
Absolutely. Well, those of you who know me know that I love to cook, love to eat. And we have some traditions Christmas time. Every Christmas, my wife and I'll make sweet potato hash. My wife makes chocolate chip pancakes, and we had this tradition for years. And I think you guys moved to Pleasant Ridge, Chuck, about 5 years ago or
yep.
so.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, you know, we should have Chuck and Marie over for breakfast on Christmas morning. So mm-hmm. I said, yeah, it's a great idea. Bring them over.
Yeah.
So you guys came over, and it took you a while to get the dress code down pat.
It did take us a while. Yes, it did take us a while. Let me explain. So we would go to Jason's house, and, you know, we would, like, get dressed up. And not dressed up, but, you know, it's Christmas. So we dress and brush her teeth, wash her face, all that kind of stuff, go over to their house. We show up, and these guys are in their PJs all the time. And so, you know, we kind of figured it out after a while, and we said, you know what, we're not brushing our teeth. We are not, no, we actually brush our teeth still. But but we do show up in our PJs, and we just enjoyed that. And, you know, you are an awesome cook, and you're incredibly hospitable. And it's just, I feel at home. When I'm at your table at breakfast, I feel like I'm at my table at breakfast. And, you know, that's an awesome thing.
Well,
so I hope
this
that
Christmas rolls around.
Yeah.
I know you're kind of watching a little bit, Weight Watchers. We're eating the real deal, real butter.
Real butter.
Real milk.
That's right.
Real chocolate.
That's right.
Chocolate chip pancakes.
I'll just fast the week before that.
No, I'm
just
playing. Whatever you gotta do.
And Andre and Vernon, actually, they're guys who I also just connect with over meals. I'll let you guys explain that, though, because a little bit has changed in our relationship around that. So.
Go ahead, Vernon, because I'm a little upset about this, because Weight Watchers is a great program.
It is.
As you all can see, I'm sure some of you may have experienced some good things with Weight Watchers, but Weight Watchers has taken away our meal time.
No, it's right.
Our Five Guys.
Yeah. Five Guys, Boston, our Boston Market. Okay. Popeyes.
Yes, Popeyes was very good. Yeah.
Changed the whole dynamic. You sold out on it.
I sold out. That's right.
I don't know you anymore.
I told them we used to engage in what I call non-Weight Watchers friendly male bonding time, which was at all these restaurants. But yeah, just guys I feel at home with. And so for me, I think that this is part of the reason why Jesus said, hey, whenever you're with the family, and here's the beautiful thing, because of what we receive in Jesus, I am as related to and as connected to these guys as I am to my own father. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. It's because Jesus did these things for us, and all who receive it, to all who receive it, who believe on his name, we have the right to become children of God. And so I want you guys to get a little bit of a taste of the family meal. So take out that biscuit. Hopefully you still have some honey, because it is a lot better with honey on it, for sure. And I just want you guys to taste a little bit of this meal. I'm sorry.
Requesting some eggs tomorrow. Mix it up a little bit.
I shouldn't eat with food in my mouth. My wife is at this service. I think she's going to correct me on that at the end. So, but yeah, I want you to taste this. I just want you to taste it. I want you to receive this. Because I really believe, for some of you, this little biscuit, this honey, this kind of simple thing we're doing, maybe it's a foretaste in some way of what it means to be a part of a bigger family. Maybe you've never had a family meal this large, but I want you to know, when you receive what God offers to you in Jesus, you become part of a family that is bigger than you could ever imagine. And so maybe this is a foretaste for you. Maybe for some of you, this is a fresh taste. You've been a part of the family, you received, but maybe it's gotten a little stale. Maybe you started to fall back into older brother tendencies, and there's a part of you that feels like you need to prove some things to God. And man, just the freshness of this. As you take that, drink your orange juice. Cheers to orange juice, everybody.
Cheers, baby.
Here, here. Drink the orange juice and just let this be a fresh reminder that what God was doing in Jesus is he was actually nourishing the deepest needs of your soul. The need to be at home, the need to belong, the need to know that you're accepted and loved. And you can receive that. You can receive that every day. You can receive that every day. Maybe for some of you, this is a first taste. And something as simple as taking this bite and drinking this juice could be the first act of faith where you say, you know what, this is more than just a meal to me, and I'm actually going to put my faith in the meaning behind this meal and the message behind what we're doing right now. Because I want you to know there's a place at the table for all of you with the family of God if you would receive it. And it's good, man. This is good. You enjoying your biscuits? Everybody enjoying your biscuits?
This is fantastic. I love you.
Yeah. So I was telling these guys, there's another way that I receive, and it's through a playlist. Any of you guys have a playlist, iTunes playlist?
Yeah, Jay-Z, I'm all about that life.
Yeah, I bet you are. I'm not surprised to hear you say that, but... You know, but yeah, I mean, it's like for me, I have playlists, and there's playlists I work out to and all of that. Well, about a year ago, kind of at the beginning of this year, I came up with a playlist that I call my Place at the Table playlist. And it's songs that I just use to remind me, to reorient me to the truth of what we've been talking about today, that I, because of what Jesus did, I experienced the Father's presence in my life, and his promises are true for me, and there's an incredible provision that's been made for me, and I have a place at the table. And so I just use music as a way to do that. So I thought as one other thing, one other way that we could receive today, is it might be cool to end with a song from my playlist, from my Place at the Table playlist. And so we're going to do that. So I'm going to invite you guys to stand up, and I want us to sing this together. And as much as I love these guys, I've also heard them sing. So I'm also going to release them out so you don't have to listen to them directly sing. So love you guys and thank you. Can you thank these guys for being here?
Thanks for the invite.
Especially this incredibly handsome one right here. But there's a song that's on my playlist, and it's one that we sung, I think, the first or the second week of the journey, and it just simply says, how deep the Father's love for us. I mean, this is an incredible table. This is an incredible experience that God invites us into to receive his love. How deep is his love for us? And so I just want us to sing that. And again, kind of like we did with the scriptures, don't just passively utter these words, but I hope that you'll lean in as you hear things that you want to receive and say, yes, I believe that. I'll trust in that. So let's sing this together. Verse we're going to sing, and I want to read the words to you because this is one that I kind of hit repeat on the playlist over and over again. I love what this says. It says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why would you boast in the death and the resurrection of Jesus? It's because you recognize that you cannot earn this love, but God freely gave it to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And Jesus didn't just die, but he actually rose again. And Jesus has a place at the table, and he invites you into relationship with him on a daily basis. And you can boast on that. You can receive that freely. It's nothing you can earn, but you can receive it freely. So as we sing this, I want us to sing it boastfully. Not boastfully in what we could do, but boastfully in what our Father has done for us.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have been my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have been my ransom. Yeah. I will drink of your deep love, for your death has brought me life. For your wounds have paid the price. I will drink of your deep love, for your death has brought me life. I will drink of your deep love, for your wounds, I paid the price.
So listen, if you ever think, if you ever wake up feeling that you need to prove something to God, if you ever wake up and think that somehow today is the day you got to put your work clothes on in the family, I want you to remember that the posture is receiving. The dividing line between those who are children of God and those who are not is simply to receive it, to say, yes, everything that needed to be proven, Jesus proved for me. Everything that needed to be earned, Jesus accomplished for me. And so then, just as I have received, I can continue to live in Him. Colossians 2:6 basically says this. It says, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. And I want you to know, as you continue to receive, God's continuing to have more love to give you. There are surprises, there are incredible things about God yet to be discovered. Sometimes God's love for you looks like biscuits and bacon, believe it or not. So thank you guys for coming. Continue to receive.